Hey everybody, my name's Colton Dury, and I'm here with my wife,
Brittany Dury, and we wanted to welcome you to our podcast called The Bible Study. Each segment will be different on our podcast, but not every segment will be covering Bible study material.
Every topic we cover in our segments will be rooted in biblical truth, ranging from conversation on biblical topics and values, to teaching Bible studies that you can share.
We wanted to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that God's Word will reach you wherever you are.
So stay tuned in for more of the Bible study.
Hello everybody, it's Brittany here, and I'm going to talk today about repentance. So this is the third lesson that we are going to be speaking on in the five-part Bible study called The Gospel. Just for a little recap, the lesson before this is who is Jesus and why he matters to our salvation. Okay. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and because of that, our debt can only be paid to him. Since we could not pay our own debt, Jesus paid our debt for us. Therefore, there is no other belief, there is no other hope, and there is no other salvation from sin. There is only Jesus. Only Jesus can save us. So my husband Colton asked the question in the last podcast, how do I apply Jesus's salvation to my life? And that is what we are going to be speaking on today, repentance. Luke chapter 13 verse 3 reads, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Another translation puts it like this, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So to give you a little context of what Luke chapter 13 verse 3 is talking about, in that chapter, we are reading a passage where the Savior, Jesus, he has related a parable, which is a story, about a fig tree that would be cut down if it failed to produce fruit. And we can talk more about that in depth if you have any questions, that specific parable at least. But I want to continue on in the Gospel Bible study with repentance is the first step toward receiving salvation. Romans 3:23, man, we are going to really be familiar with this after this Bible study. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what does this mean? This means that everyone, you, me, our neighbor, our newborn cousin, everyone is a sinner. No one is good, so everyone must repent. If we do not turn from our sinful ways, we will answer to God for the things that we have done. I just attended a home Bible study training, and the head of that department was talking about a well-known magician duo, Penn and Teller. And Penn, I believe it's Gillette, he said something that was kind of eye-opening. Now, keep in mind that the quote I'm about to read from Mr. Penn is so shocking because he is an atheist. And it starts out like this. I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. And for those of you who don't know what proselytize means, it means to attempt to convert or to convert from one religion belief or opinion to another. So again, he started off by saying that he does not respect people who do not proselytize. So I'm going to continue in his quote. He's also said, I do not respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think it's not really worth telling them about because it would maybe make it socially awkward, and atheists who think people shouldn't proselytize and say, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible, but not tell them about it? I mean, if I believed beyond the shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that the truck was bearing down on you, there is a certain point where I would just tackle you. And this is more important than that. End quote. So what he's talking about is if we truly believe in the Word of God and the consequences that will come our way if we do not repent, then why are we not also sharing the gospel, the good news, God's word? Why are we not telling more people? He said, maybe you think it might be socially awkward, but again, that doesn't matter because it's either a minute of being uncomfortable or withholding the information that God has given you and denying someone the opportunity to make it to heaven. So not only are we going to answer to God for the things we have done, but we also answer to God for the things that we haven't done. But we know that we're responsible for doing those things. Repentance is so important, and we all have to do it. But what is it? What is repentance? There are two biblical components to repentance. First, repentance is godly sorrow. Sorrow is a feeling of distress or disappointment. It is hard to accept, not to mention to embrace. Godly sorrow, because deep down we all want to feel good. We want to be happy, but in order for us to find true happiness, in order for us to receive the joy of the Lord, we must recognize the sin inside of us. Better yet said, the sin inside our hearts. The realization that you have broken or that I have broken God's law or God's word because of our sin should lead us to repentance because we feel so sorry and we want to make things right with our God. We must take responsibility for our sins and turn our life over to the mercy of God. Repentance is understanding that you and I are guilty of sin and saying, Jesus, please forgive me. But not just saying it, but truly meaning it and having that godly sorrow that we just spoke about. Second, repentance is a change. Change means to make something different or to become something different. Godly sorrow leads us to the change of heart and a change of direction. These two things result in a life change. It's not just about feeling bad, because a lot of people feel bad or feel guilty when they've been caught doing something that they know is wrong. Repentance is driven first by an authentic desire to please Jesus Christ. Now, the difference between acting on guilt and acting on godly sorrow is true love for God. Repentance is about making God the Lord of your life. It's surrendering your will to the will of God. To repent is to turn away from the old things that you were doing, the old person you used to be. And repentance is turning from sin and it's turning back to God. We don't want to ask God to forgive us because we just feel guilty about it. We want to ask God to forgive us because we truly want to change what we have been doing or saying or the way we've been acting because we know it's not pleasing to Him. Jesus told a story in the book of Luke that illustrates genuine repentance. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 16 reads this. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide the wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. There, he wasted all his money that his father had given him in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man, who had demanded to his father that he had his share of his father's estate now, well, that young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. Imagine what he was thinking or feeling, so extreme in his mind and his heart of desperation to want to eat. what the pigs were eating. He was so hungry. But no one gave him anything. The son who took that inheritance, he went and he blew it all. He spent everything on worthless stuff. The money ran out, the fun ran out, and when it did, even the pig slopped looked appetizing, which sometimes we can compare that to the nasty stuff in this world. Sometimes it looks appetizing to us because we feel that there is nothing else left for us, but that is not true. This is a picture of sin. Sin is like pig slop. It's gross, it's disgusting, but hunger makes it appealing. It is because of our sin that people do nasty things, hoping that we'll find something to satisfy the appetites of our flesh. Sometimes they don't even realize the slop that they're eating or the way they're living, but they do it or they eat it anyway because it's all they know. Jesus continued in Luke 15, verses 17 and 19. When he, the prodigal son, finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" The first thing the son did when he wanted to make his life right again was express his sorrow. His words demonstrate how disappointed he was with himself for the decisions that he had made. He was also willing to submit himself to the will of his father, even if his father wanted to make him a servant. Luke 15:20 reads, "So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off," which means when that prodigal son was still probably pretty far down that road, "his father saw him coming. His father's heart was filled with love and compassion, and he ran to his son and he embraced him and he kissed him. The son turned back. The son came home. He made the decision to pick himself up, to get out of that pig slop or sin and come home. And his father was so happy. He told the servants, he said, 'My son has come home. Let's have a celebration.'" Jesus is waiting on you to turn to him. He loves you. You might be feeling as though you've messed up or you've gone too far or you've done too much. But I'm here to tell you, we all have felt that way. You might even feel as though God hates you because of what you've done, but he does not. God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter the exceptions. He gave his life to set you free from your sin and my sin. Jesus will forgive you. He's waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you to repent. I encourage you to maybe do a little research about the parable or the story about the prodigal son who came home. It speaks so much to how God feels when we decide to repent and turn back to him and turn from our old ways. And it's so beautiful. One of my favorite songs is Ring and Robe. The version that I listen to the most is by Indiana Bible College, and they do such a great job of encapsulating the spirit and the joy that I believe that the father had when he saw his son coming home. And I want to tell you that that is how God feels, and that is how I know that my pastor and my church feels when we see someone who is turning to God and we say, "Welcome home, come home," because we know what Jesus has to offer that person because he forgave us and he will forgive them and he will forgive you. Now is the time to repent. No matter where you are or what you're doing, you can stop, you can get down on your knees, you can go to a room alone, you can stand and raise your hands, but submit yourself, submit your will to the will of the Father and turn away from your sin. And it's not something we do just one time. We are human and we are going to struggle until we finally get to the place called heaven where we are with our Savior. So anytime that you feel that you have sinned every day, a couple times a day, you are welcomed home by the Father to just get down or get to a quiet place and say, God, I am sorry, and I am going to do better, and I submit my ways to your ways. Help me, oh God, to change. You can do it because I did it. My family members have done it. The Bible says you can do it, and God will honor your repentance.
We wanted to thank you for tuning in to the Bible Study Podcast.
As you continue to tune in with us, I encourage you to study God's Word yourself.
If you have any topics that you would like to learn more about or any questions about a previous segment, feel free to reach out via email at brittdurre@gmail.com. brittdurre@gmail.com.
We pray you have a blessed day in Jesus' name.